I gotta tell you, just watching families have communion together and watching parents with young children kind of doing this, that, yeah, he's happy. He wants to go. But just watching parents modeling these things, you know, I grew up where this is something the pastor does. And I think for children to see their parents leading them in this, that's a powerful thing. That's good. So we've been in a very short series, which we're going to wrap up today, looking at this whole idea of listening to God. And, of course, one of our banners, the second one, discerning, which is the first one this morning. I didn't even notice that. These key words of listening and discerning, they're a really important part of our spiritual disciplines and part of our life, but typically they are things that we set aside time for. So you may set aside time in the morning to open the scriptures so that you can listen to God, and in prayer perhaps some time to listen to God, and as we open the scriptures on Sunday morning, we're listening to God. So there are some things that we do that are very structured. The question this morning is, what about the rest of the day? What about all day, every day? Can we listen to God, and how important is it that we do that? Because we're looking at a worldview in which we live in enemy territory. Satan is the prince of this world. We're talking about a spiritual dominion of the heavens and of the earth, and we live in that all day, every day. It's a worldview that includes frequent communication in the spiritual realms. And we may not even understand or recognize the fact that there is spiritual communication going on with us throughout the day. Every temptation that you and I face every day is a subtle voice, either of Satan himself or one of his demons. It's a subtle voice that would disrupt our relationship with God or with other people. And if you were to stop, as I suggested last week, and pause and put into words exactly what is this voice suggesting to me, you would actually be exposing the voice of Satan. You just may not have thought about the fact that when negative thoughts enter your mind, someone's behind that thought. Someone is behind that voice planting it in your mind. I was at a breakfast event on Wednesday morning. Columbia Bible College hosts an annual breakfast, just to some reports of what's going on in the school and praying for the school. And as I was sitting at the table with other pastors and some of the staff from the college, I suddenly had this profound sense that I don't belong here. These are not my people. They would never miss me if I walked out right now, so I should just go back to my office. And I had this strong sense of rejection, and I wanted to leave. I wanted to walk out. Satan is a lion. He preys on our weaknesses when we least expect it. His intentions are destructive. But what's interesting is his voice is often disguised as your own voice. And it sounded to me at that breakfast table like I was simply acknowledging something that's true. I don't belong here. These are not my people. And I want you to notice that even the language of the voice was in the first person voice. It was my voice speaking to me. It was not an accusation saying, you don't belong here. It was a manipulation of voice. And it sounded like I was simply acknowledging something that I know is true. I don't belong here. And as I sat there with that profound voice of rejection, I thought of you. I thought of you and me standing here last week, and I could see you just like I see you now. And I thought of what I have been teaching these last few weeks. And so I literally did what I asked you to do last week. I clearly articulated the message in my mind as clearly as I could. And then I looked around the room and asked myself, is this true? Do I truly not belong here? Or is this a temptation of discouragement that I would withdraw from this fellowship of leaders? And I realized that this was clearly an attempt to disrupt my relationship with other people in the room by this manipulative communication. That's what Satan does. And Peter tells us that the same kind of suffering is being experienced by our brothers and sisters around the world. My experience this week was normal. It's happening around the world, and if it's happening around the world, we should also expect that it's happening right here in Abbotsford. Maybe even right here in this church. Maybe even right now. Maybe there's a message in your mind, in your spirit right now that's saying, I don't belong here. These are not my people. I should just leave. Maybe there's a voice questioning whether you even have a place at the Lord's table this morning. The God of all grace, we are called to eternal glory in Christ. Yeah, not for me. You don't know my life. If you really know me, okay, stop. Notice that that's a first person voice. Where's that voice coming from? Is that really true that God's grace isn't sufficient for you? Do you really believe that your sin is more powerful than the grace of God? It's a lie. Our God of all grace has called you to eternal glory in Christ. Not in yourself, but in Christ. Satan is dealing in lies. And so we need to be equipped with truth and know how to walk in and to claim that truth. This last year, late in the year, in December, I think I received a recommendation from a friend to read a new book that's just been released by Randy Friesen. Some of you know him. I first met Randy about 10 years ago when I was leading international missions for the North American Baptist, and Randy was leading international missions on behalf of the Mennonite Brethren. And if you've ever met Randy, had a chance to spend time with him, you'll know that this man walks closely with Jesus. It's evident when you spend any time with him. That he spends his day paying attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit all day, every day. And it is his intimate daily walk with Christ that is the subject of this new book that Randy wrote, and it's called SQ. It stands for Spiritual Quotient. And there's one section in particular in this book that I found to be really helpful for our conversation this morning. He described his daily practice of preparing himself for spiritual battle every day, and he calls it PREP, P-R-E-P. And so for the last couple of months, I have adopted this practice, and it has made a significant difference in how I engage the spiritual world day by day, and I want to recommend this to you and pass on this practice that Randy covers in his book. Because if Satan is dealing with lies, we need to start each day by declaring what's truth about God and about ourselves. So the first P stands for proclaim. Again, in our worldview, God is sovereign over all authorities in heaven and on earth. We've established that. So in the morning, we proclaim that Christ is King. We proclaim that He holds all spiritual authority. We proclaim that Christ has defeated Satan on the cross, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. His name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Can you see where this is going? We proclaim who God is, and then we proclaim who I am. I am a child of God. I am an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. I am the disciple that Jesus loves. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so we're proclaiming the authority of Christ over my own life, over our lives, and then we proclaim our surrender, that this is where we live. We live in surrender to Christ. We proclaim what's truth about God and what's true about us. R stands for repent and resist. Now, we repent of any thought that's contrary to the truth that we just proclaimed. We take every thought captive to the authority of Christ. We resist the temptation to diminish our identity. I don't belong here. To diminish our spiritual authority in Christ. There's nothing I can do. We resist the temptation to believe the lie, I don't belong here. We repent of these things. We repent of any sins that pursue us. It may be pride or lust or coveting. You know where your weaknesses lie, and so does Satan. Lies that we allow to exist become what the scriptures call strongholds. He has a strong hold over your life in that temptation. And so we pray proactively in the morning to resist the strongholds that Satan would establish in our lives. We're setting ourselves up against the spiritual forces of evil. E stands for entreat. Having proclaimed what is true, having repented of any lies, now we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. Randy calls this entreating, and he jokes in the book by saying, I needed a vowel. So that's why it's E for entreat. You're wondering. But the scripture encourages us every day to be filled with the Spirit. And so we're simply asking God to do something that the scriptures tell us to do. We're simply agreeing with scriptures. We're claiming a promise. We've put off the flesh, we've put off the lies, and now let's put on Christ. Let's be filled with the Spirit. And we pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives. We claim this promise every morning in preparation for anything that the Holy Spirit will say to us during the day. So not only the fruit of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit. Spirit, what do you want to do through me today? I am filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can do what you want. And then the last P is to put on the armor of God. And I'll come back to this in just a moment. But I want to say something about this prep. I want you to understand that this prep work is not in any way taking the place of your quiet time in the morning. It's not taking the place of your scripture reading, your prayer, anything like that. Randy in the book, he talks about the fact that he does this prep work literally first thing in the morning. He says, I wake up and I get on my knees beside my bed and I do prep. Before I have my morning coffee, before I open the scriptures, before I leave the bedroom, I don't go anywhere without doing this work. And that was a wake-up call to me. It really spoke to me because as I imagined him doing that every morning, I came to realize that the spiritual attacks on my life, they start the moment I wake up in the morning. Sometimes I have to acknowledge that they even start while I'm sleeping in my dreams. And I wake up, have you ever done this? And I'm just frustrated. Or I'm angry at someone. Or I'm depressed about something. I'm defensive or I'm hurt. And if I carry that, if I wait until I've had my coffee, I'm just letting Satan do his thing. I am vulnerable to attack because I don't have my armor on yet. And in the worldview that we've been describing, if it's accurate, if Satan is prowling, if he's looking for weaknesses, and if he doesn't fight fair, we need to be ready from the moment we wake up. He is not going to give you a chance to get your coffee and get your thoughts together in the morning. He's not going to wait. The armor of God in Ephesians 6 is given to us so that we can make a stand. Look at how this passage begins in Ephesians 6, verse 12. Here's our worldview. Paul's saying the same thing that we've been saying for 3 or 4 weeks. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And if that's the worldview, if that's where we live, then he says, you're going to have to do something. You need to put on the armor of God, the next verse. So take it up, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Notice that this takes our energy. It actually takes intentionality on our part to stand firm. Now, I've known about the armor of God ever since I was a child in Sunday school, and we read this passage and you color the armor of God, you know, on a little picture paper. I've known this for decades. But for some reason, it never struck me how important it was that I need to put it on every day. My thinking was, I'll take up whatever armor I need when I need it. Think about how that simply doesn't make sense. I'll wait until I'm attacked, then I'll put the armor on. I'll wait until the fiery darts or the evil are come, and then I'll take up the shield. No. Be prepared to take your stand. And so I started asking myself, where does that sense of complacency come from that I don't need to take it up regularly? I think, oh, there's another subtle voice, isn't there? So let's talk about each piece of the armor, and let's talk about how to put it on. Now, in the passage in Ephesians 6, I'm not going to go through that passage, but in that passage, he starts with the belt of truth. And all of these pieces of armor are about truth. I want you to notice that they're all about declaring the truth, proclaiming the truth about God and ourselves. So it starts with truth, but to make it easier for me, so this is what I do, I start at the top, the helmet, and I work my way down. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. There's no reason for this other than it helps me understand. There's 4 things to put on, and then there's 2 things we hold, 1 in each hand. So we start with the top, the helmet of salvation. The helmet guards your mind. And that's where the attacks start every morning, every day. And so I speak the truth of my salvation. I speak the truth of the table. It is by grace that I am saved. It has nothing to do with my actions. There's nothing that I could do that could cancel the grace of God by my failures. There's nothing that I could do to earn the grace of God by my serving. It has nothing to do with me. It is only the grace of God. And so when I hear the voice of criticism about my sin and my failure, when I hear doubts about being good enough, when I hear pride about something, I turn to the helmet. My salvation is in Christ alone. Romans 12, the renewal of your mind. Philippians 4:8 tells me to think about what is true and honorable and excellent and praiseworthy. Think about these things. Fill your mind. Guard your mind with the helmet of the scriptures. And there's many scriptures that we can use as the helmet of salvation to guard our minds. Second is the breastplate of righteousness. Again, I simply affirm that I am putting on Jesus' breastplate of righteousness. It's not my own. His righteousness is solid, and it can hold up to any spiritual attack. My righteousness leaves me vulnerable in so many areas. And so I imagine the righteousness of Christ covering my front, and I think about my heart, and I think about my soul. I think about it protecting the affections of my heart. Do I love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength? And I think about my soul, which really is my identity, that my identity is rooted in the righteousness of Christ. It's not rooted in who I am or what I've done. The breastplate of righteousness. Third is the belt of truth. And again, all these things are about truth. But when I put on the belt of truth, what I think about now is particularly, what truth do I need to claim on this particular day because of what I might expect during the day? Did I wake up with any sense of condemnation this morning or frustration? I'll ask myself, what's the truth about that lie? And I repent of the lie that's affecting me, and I declare what's true. And then you take that truth with you through the day. So whatever you encounter during the day. Wednesday morning, I was sitting at the table at CBC. I heard the lie, I don't belong here. I articulated the voice, and then I looked around the room. And I decided, I absolutely belong here. These are men and women that care about the emerging generations of leaders and pastors in the church. I care about that. I belong. I want to have a voice at that table. That's the belt of truth. And then fourth, we put on the shoes fit for the gospel of peace. Now, I used to think of these as specialty shoes designed for a particular task. I've got golf shoes for golfing, I've got hiking shoes for hiking, and somehow we have gospel shoes, although I don't really know what those will look like. And it struck me that I need to be thinking in terms of being ready to speak the gospel of peace wherever my shoes take me, every day. And so in the morning, I pray now that I would be prepared to speak of the gospel of truth, the gospel of peace, wherever I go. Two things we hold in our hands. First, in my left hand, because I'm right-handed, I hold the shield of faith. And notice that Paul describes this shield intercepting the flaming darts of the evil one. Not only is there a dart, or if you want to imagine an arrow, but it's a flaming arrow. It's on fire. It has double danger. If the arrow connects, okay, the damage goes beyond the wound of the arrowhead. It lingers and burns after it's made contact. And I'm sure you've experienced that truth in your own experience of temptation and sin. When temptation leads to sin, there's the initial wound, but then it burns. It doesn't instantly go away. I think of a poison dart. It's not just that the dart has hit you, it's what it's put in you. It's the poison. It's the lies that it's spreading in you. And Paul says that this shield not only intercepts the arrow, but it extinguishes the flame. Once the arrow encounters my faith, it loses its power to harm. And so even if I have sinned, the shield can still put out the flame, because the truth of forgiveness and restoration extinguishes the flame. But I have to exercise that faith. I have to hold up that shield. I have to claim what is true. My faith is in the truth of Scripture. My faith is in the authority of Christ and His ability to extinguish the flame. And then finally, in my right hand, I hold the sword of the Spirit, which is, Scripture says, the Word of God. This one's really interesting, if you think about it. It's not my sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God, but it's the sword of the Spirit wielding the Word of God, but I am to take it up. And so there is this partnership with the Holy Spirit in taking up the Word of God. Okay, so together we're taking up the Word of God. When I first began this practice of prep, and I worked my way through the armor of God, and I came to the sword of the Spirit, the Lord gave me a picture of a child's plastic sword. It's about 18 inches long. You've seen them in your home. Maybe your grandkids have them. They're made of plastic. They've got really dull edges. They're hollow. They're full of air. They're not going to hurt anybody. And it's like the Lord said, Norm, that's your sword. And I knew that He was talking about my practice of memorizing Scripture, taking up the sword. And when I was a child, I was really big into Scripture memory. Do you remember those badges that you earned? Did you guys do that, where you get the badge and then, I got all of those, and then it was candy after that, and then it was, Christian Service Brigade, Boys Brigade for us, I did it all, and it was great. Somewhere along the way, I stopped. And I haven't actively engaged in Scripture memory for longer than I can describe for you, frankly. And my sword, I realized, was this patchwork of bits and pieces. Bits and pieces of Scripture with no real design, nothing comprehensive to bring it all together, and no real purpose or intent. It was certainly nothing dangerous, let me put it that way. So I began to choose and to write out a number of Scripture passages that I would commit to memorize. And I listed the Scriptures that spoke directly to proclaim, resist and repent, be filled with the Holy Spirit, put all the Spirit of God. And so I memorized Scripture about proclaiming who God is, and I chose a Scripture that's all about who God is and who I am, and a Scripture about repentance of sin and the grace of God, and that's where I stand. Scripture about the filling of the Holy Spirit and about the fruit of the Spirit. Right now I'm working on Scriptures that speak to every piece of the armor of God, and I don't practice all of them every day. Sometimes on Friday when I'm fasting, that'll be a time where I'll just go and review all of them. But every day I draw on the ones that fit the spiritual battle that I'm encountering on that day. But almost every day, in fact, I will say every day, understanding that I'm human and I don't always do what I say, but almost every day I finish with Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than every two-edged sword. It's piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it's discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so when I come to the sword of the Spirit, this is the verse that I speak out. And I ask the Holy Spirit to take this sword and pierce through to the division of my soul. Where is my identity today? To the division of my spirit. What's the difference between your spirit and the spiritual voices that I'm listening to that the Word of God would discern? To the joints and the marrow. And frankly, I don't understand everything that means other than I know that our bodies are involved in the spiritual realms, so I pray that in whatever way my body is involved in the spiritual realms, that the Spirit of God would do what he needs to do, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. What is the intention of my heart in doing this? Is there pride there? Holy Spirit, come. Spirit of God, take your sword and expose what needs to be exposed. That verse goes on to say that no creature is hidden from his sight. But all of us are naked and exposed before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And I just think, I want that. I want to be exposed before Christ, before God, and I want him to take the sword and point out the things that I need to see. So there are two disciplines that I want to invite you to engage in. To begin your day with prep. Proclaim, resist, entreat, put on the Spirit, or put on the armor of God. And then over time, to choose and to write down and to memorize scriptures that speak to every part of these elements. And I put up on the screen one of the scriptures under the main headings that I've chosen. These are the scriptures that I'm working on. Perhaps they will speak to you as well. But there are things in my life that make these scriptures in particular really important to me. And there may be other ones for you. And it'll take some time to develop this discipline of first thing in the morning before my coffee, before your coffee. It'll take time for you to think about which scriptures fit. It'll take time to memorize these scriptures, but I want to testify that by me following Randy's advice, it's made a significant difference in my life. Some mornings, I can go through prep in just a few minutes. There are some mornings where I wake up and I just feel like I'm in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and there's no spiritual attack and I can go through it, and it may take me 5-7 minutes to pray through this. Other mornings, I find that prep is the hardest spiritual battle of my day, because I wake up and I'm already in the battle. And it's not just putting on the armor of God, it's putting it on while I'm fighting the battle. And sometimes it takes me a half hour, 45 minutes just to do prep before I can have my coffee. And I don't have all my scriptures chosen yet. I don't have it all memorized yet. But I'll say this, my sword is no longer a toy. And I'm glad for that. It's not yet the double-edged sword that I would like it to be, but I've come to understand and believe that the armor of God is really important every day. And I want to encourage you to put on the armor of God regularly. Let's move away from the complacency that Satan would give us, that these things really aren't that important. I mean, if you think about our spiritual worldview, these things are hugely important. But I think Satan has kind of dulled us to how important these things are. And so for your sake, for the sake of your victory in the battles that you encounter every day, for the sake of the fellowship of believers as we confess our sins to one another and grow together, let's put on the armor of God regularly. Pray with me to that end. Holy Spirit, I recognize that even as we expose the lies of Satan and claim the truth of Scripture, that even as we expose the strategies of Satan, the complacency that he slipped us into, that we are entering a spiritual battle. And so I would pray over each one of us and over our church that as we learn to engage this, Holy Spirit, would you give us extra strength, especially in the beginning, as Satan will resist this. that you would give us an extra measure of discernment to be able to recognize even the subtle things so that we could stand firm against all that Satan would bring against us. I pray that you would cover our church with your hand of protection. Cover each person, each life, with the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and every truth that we need to hold. And that as we hold up all of these pieces of your armor, that we would learn to wield them effectively. Holy Spirit, by your grace, would you help us to wield them probably better than we're able to on our own until we learn. That you would protect us as we learn to put on your armor. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.